rest of you. I don't care if that's not fair. 'Cause I want it all or nothing at all. There's nowhere left to fall.
Welcome, Pewter Report readers and listeners, to another edition of the Pewter Nation podcast. I'm Mark Cook, along with Scott Reynolds.
Hello.
And Matthew the intern.
How's it
going?
Just
how we're going to go with him.
Is that right? Matthew the intern?
Okay. Yes.
Only my mother calls me Matthew.
Well, and us.
And us now.
And my bosses.
Yeah.
Which is virtually the same thing. We're your mother now. You're not living at home.
I'm
with
your daddy.
Us. Yes.
Let's just keep that straight, son. Yeah.
Try saying that to my dad and see what happens.
Yeah, Scott, these guys
like
are from...
My dad could beat up your dad.
These guys are from New
probably.
York.
Probably.
These guys are from New York.
Sorry,
let's,
Dad.
Let's be careful. Yeah. They could make a few phone calls and we could probably disappear.
Really?
Matt's a New Yorker.
Okay.
From Long Island.
Very well connected.
Yeah, well connected.
I know people in waste management.
In like the cement business?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, big time.
Yeah. Matt, what's your favorite TV show? It's not even a joke. Tell him.
Well, I've been rewatching The Sopranos. Yeah. If that's what you're
duh.
Alluding to.
Yes, of course. Yeah, duh. All right, Pauly Walnuts. We're going to get back to the show right now. We are thawed out, kind of. The weather kind of followed us back here to Tampa from Mobile last week. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know that we really need to wrap up anything Senior Bowl-wise. There's plenty of content up, including a review of the game and the guys that kind of stood out there.
We also talked about which Senior Bowl player we'd like to import onto the Bucs roster during our PR roundtable this week. So,
right.
And it really what's up next is the NFL Scouting Combine. Mm-hmm. I'll be heading up there later in February. For that'll really be the first opportunity, unless the Bucs schedule something,
right?
Where Bruce Arians will talk to the media in mass. He's done some radio interviews, you know, and some things, you know, one shot here and there to different outlets. We'll of course try to get him to speak as well. But right now, I do know that Bruce Arians and the coaching staff, they did their player evaluations of the Bucs existing players and the soon-to-be free agents, which we've chronicled on PewterReport.com. Headliners include Donovan Smith, Quan Alexander, Adam Humphries, of course, the quarterbacks, Ryan mm-hmm. Griffin and Ryan Fitzpatrick. And then Jason and the Bucs personnel department, John Spytek, et cetera, they were at the East-West Shrine in the Senior Bowl taking a look at the next wave of Buccaneer players, but they really wanted to give the coaching staff time to break down the film, do their own evaluation, and then they're going to compare notes this week, which they've been doing at One Buck in Your Place, and try to get some consensus on, yes, this guy can play for us. No, he can't. Let's re-sign him. Let's let him go. We may have to move on from this guy. And lo and behold, Mike Greenberg's going to come down from the football administration office and say, well, guys, we got about $12 million worth of salary cap space. All those years we were flush with cap room have come to an end. And now it's time to make some salary cap conscious decisions. And so that's what it's going to boil down to is the month of February is going to be who's going to stay, who's going to go on this Bucs roster, and then at the end of the month going to the combine and starting to look at free agency and also the draft for this new coaching staff.
And, Scott, the one area I think that this team has got to concentrate on more than anything is the offensive line. Mm-hmm. And I think Arians has said that in his press conferences and some of the interviews that he's done. He feels his team's pretty loaded, but they've got to get better up front.
Yeah.
And there's some question marks there. Number one, Donovan Smith at the left tackle position. This team's got there's really no other options right now, are there? They've got to sign him either to a transition tag or the franchise tag or sign him to a long-term deal. There's really not any other. And I know Buccaneer fans are losing their mind right now because he's so hated. And honestly, he made our most disappointing list more often than not last year. But how many starts has this guy had? Without consecutive starts.
Yeah, I guess 4 years worth of starts, really.
Right.
I think 64 games, I believe, is where that number's at, if my math is, if my on-the-fly math is correct. There's a lot to like about Donovan Smith. His age, he still has some upside. I want to see him, honestly, with another offensive line coach. I don't think George Warhop developed him, developed Caleb Benenock, developed Alex Kappa.
Wasn't Warhop a holdover from Lovey's staff?
Yes.
Yeah.
But he and Dirk Cutter had some history together and was very well liked and respected by Cutter. I don't know how well respected he is in other parts of the building. I'll just say that. There's a reason why Warhop is gone.
Yeah.
And now you have Joe Gilbert coming in from Indianapolis, who coached with Bruce Arians during his stint with the Colts, but also Harold Goodwin, who's the run game coordinator. Mm-hmm. And he's also, I think he's probably the main guy in terms of the offensive line. He was the Arizona Cardinals offensive line coach. And I loved what he said. I think we shared it on this podcast. Listen, if the offensive line doesn't perform well, you can write all the bad things you want about me. These guys are a reflection of me. I took some time over the weekend after I got back from Mobile and watched the Senior Bowl. I spent the entire weekend watching the All or Nothing 2015 Arizona Cardinals series on Amazon Prime.
And wasn't that a song by 98 Degrees, All or Nothing?
98 Degrees.
You don't remember them? Nick Lachey?
Nick Carter would be upset with you right now if you're mentioning a fellow boy band.
I'm a boy band aficionado.
How could you do that to Nick?
Wasn't that by 98 Degrees? Yes, I thought it was.
Nick Carter just had a birthday. What an awful birthday present.
39.
Mark Cook, his good buddy, mentioning the words 98 Degrees.
I didn't say I liked him. I'm just saying you keep saying All of Nothing.
Name
and now
a
that song
by 98 Degrees.
Stuck in my head. Matt, you're going to have to use that song as the opening for the the thing now.
Yeah, that's
it's really got
it. That's how it happens, Bucks fans. We don't go into this picking the songs.
That's true.
The songs kind of pick themselves
as
we're doing the podcast.
All right, so back to the All or Nothing Amazon special.
Fascinating look. And not just to Bruce Arians.
Wait, let me ask you this, because you've mentioned this to me a few times. And I've just been corrected. It was actually O-Town, not 98 Degrees.
My fault. Yeah.
Another bad boy band, nowhere near the expertise and awesomeness of Nick Carter and the Backstreet Boys. But you've mentioned the All or Nothing thing a few times. Now, what's the difference between that and the Hard Knocks, other than they're on two different platforms? Is it essentially the same thing, a behind the scenes?
It's way better than Hard Knocks.
Because they go the entire duration of the season
and training camp. So it's the entire 2015 season, which, for you non-Arizona Cardinal fans out there, they went 13-3.
Right.
They were a game away from the Super Bowl. They lost to the Carolina Panthers in Carolina. That was Cam Newton's MVP year. And they lost that year, didn't make the Super Bowl. That was the year that they came back to beat the Green Bay Packers in Arizona for that divisional playoff game. And so it's not just a fascinating look at Bruce and his coaching style, but also they show footage of him in there with Michael Bidwell, the president and owner of the Cardinals, and Steve Keim, the general manager, in there talking about personnel decisions they had to make. And Bruce Arians cut a player who happened to be a practice squad defensive lineman because he parked in the wrong spot. And he's like, hey, we got a couple rules around here. We don't have many, but we got a couple.
Right.
And he warned the team, if we catch you parking in the season ticket holder parking spots, if you get here late, you know, like you're gone. And he meant it. And I'm listening to this, and the first person I'm thinking of is Donovan Smith, honestly.
Yeah.
Is Donovan Smith needs somebody to tell him, hey, you sucked on that play, or you sucked in this game, and your football sucks. And I don't think Donovan Smith has necessarily had that.
Mm-hmm.
And Donovan has a little bit, and I like the guy, nothing against him, but
right.
I think he's a little bit entitled. And I think that his contract situation right here, he's either going to be the franchise player and make $14 million a year, or the Bucks are going to re-sign him for $12 to $13 million a year on a multi-year deal. So one way or the other, Donovan Smith, coming off a subpar year, is going to get paid. And that's like the poster child of today's entitled generation. And I think Bruce Arians and Harold Goodwin are going to get the entitlement out of him. And the way that Bruce can chew out an MF a player makes John Gruden look like Mr. Rogers. Okay, for real. And I'm watching this going, woo, this is going to be fun.
Right.
This is exactly what this team needs. Not just Jameis Winston. I mean, forget the whole quarterback whisperer elements that Bruce Arians is going to bring. This isn't about Jameis. It's about the other 52 guys on the team that need Bruce Arians' foot up their ass.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to get it. And you're either going to do what you're supposed to do and do it right, or you're going to be gone. There was an instance where Ted Larson, former Buccaneer offensive lineman, was the right guard.
Mr. Personality.
Yes, Mr. Personality.
Good Lord.
He was a guard for
the
Arizona Cardinals
worst,
that year.
Worst interview In the 8 years that I've done this. He was as boring as dried paint.
He was up there
Daniel
for sure.
Daniel Tanison was probably the worst.
Yes, agreed. But we're talking about a top five bad interview guy. And you nailed it. Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
Ted Larson, they're getting ready to line up to kick a game-winning field goal against the Cincinnati Bengals. And this is at home. And they line up, and Carson Palmer was going to spike the ball. You know, he kind of took a knee, got the ball where the kicker wanted it. Chandler Catanzaro, by the way. Mm. And went to spike the ball. And Ted Larson false starts on a spike play, right? And, of course, you hear Bruce, who's mic'd up every game, just dropping the MFs like nobody's business. He is
Massey Ferguson.
He is weaving a tapestry of profanity, right? Mm-hmm. And then as it turns out, and, of course, the flag is thrown. As it turns out, they nail one of the Bengals' defensive linemen for simulating the snap by saying, hut, and making Ted jump, okay? And so Ted gets the reprieve. It's a 15-yard unsportsmanlike conduct penalty. They inch the ball 15 yards closer, kick the game-winning field goal. Cardinals win the game. The next scene is Steve Keim talking with Michael Bidwell and Bruce Arians. And Bruce is like, Ted Larson lucked out. I was going to cut his ass. And he was going to, right? So then the next scene from that is the team meeting room where they're talking about it, and they put this sheet up that has all the categories that the Cardinals either won or lost in. Third and short, physicality, penalties, third and long, all that stuff. And they have mental errors, and the Cardinals, in the coach's mind, lost to the Bengals in terms of mental errors. And he said, and Ted Larson, you're lucky you're not up there because you wouldn't be sitting right where you are right now if you were, okay? And you can just see, like, Ted Larson goes pale white.
Right.
Because he knows with that false start penalty, he's cut.
Right.
This is a starter on this team, cut. And that's the kind of stuff that has to happen in Tampa Bay.
Remember how many times last year, well, really over the last couple years, Scott, you and I and Trevor were sitting in the press box and a player would make an idiotic play or just have a terrible game. And we would joke about, you know, they should just cut him right now. Or it would be a road game and you and I would be texting back and forth like they should just leave that guy at the airport. You know what I mean? As a joke.
Kind of.
Well, it may not be a joke
with
a guy like Bruce Arians for what you're saying.
And the thing is like there are times, and again, the first person I'm thinking of is Donovan Smith.
Yeah.
And Donovan is a good player. He's a better player than fans give him credit
for. By the way, if you're making $14 million a year, Bruce is probably not going to cut you. But he's going to ride your ass big time.
Well, just because you make $14 million and you're the starter, if you keep screwing up, doesn't mean you're not going to get benched.
That's true.
You know?
Yep.
And that's my thing. It's like I know that being a left tackle, it's like the – you know, the Secret Service, right? Like, you have to be perfect every single play.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, you know, if the Secret Service messes up, the president gets assassinated, you know, sorry, you didn't do your job. Like, Donovan Smith can play a perfect game against the Dallas Cowboys, and he lets Greg Hardy go around the corner one time and sack, fumble, score, and all of a sudden, Donovan Smith lands on the most disappointing list. Mm-hmm. And rightfully so.
I don't think that was Greg Hardy, though, thank goodness.
Huh?
It wasn't Greg Hardy.
Yeah, he's in the UFC now.
Yeah, it wasn't Greg Hardy. It was the other guy, the other troubled one.
Yeah, I know who you're talking
from
about.
From Nebraska.
Yeah, Randy Gregory.
Randy Gregory. Right. That's who it was. Wasn't it Randy Gregory?
Yeah, yeah. How do I remember that?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, the Dallas Cowboys, aside from DeMarcus Lawrence, have so many quality guys at defensive end. So to me, that's...
Sure.
That's something that I think Bruce is really going to help Donovan Smith at. And I do think that Donovan will probably get the franchise tag. I don't know that the team wants to make a long-term commitment because they want to see how Donovan's going to respond to this. So, Buccaneer fans, it's probably coming. Don't freak out about it.
It's not probably coming, Scott. It's going to happen. I mean, there's
yes.
Look, in the Monday mailbag, somebody asked about free agent offensive linemen. There's just nobody out there.
Yeah. There's Trent Brown from the Patriots. Everybody wants Trent Brown. Okay, fine. You think the Patriots are going to let go of Trent Brown? They're not.
Exactly.
They're going to franchise him too, probably.
He's going to win another Super Bowl ring. He's not going to want to leave anyway.
Right.
So, I mean, he's going to be there. Listen, offensive linemen are probably the position more than any other than quarterback, that teams will find a way to keep if they're worth a darn. They don't even have to be great. If you're just pretty good, they're going to find a way to keep you because it's one of the most difficult positions to just, replace, in other words.
It is.
And you were talking earlier, Scott, you know, there are some guys that, a lot of scouts like, and a lot of these internet, you know, web scouts and things really like. I don't know how many the Buccaneers themselves really like in this upcoming draft. I mean, obviously, the kid from Alabama, he's a no-brainer,
Williams.
Right?
Well, I don't think so. I don't think that
Buccaneers... you watched that Clemson National Championship game where he got knocked on his ass pretty good.
Well, yeah, but I don't think Jonah Williams is the prototypical left tackle. I think we talked to a couple of scouts at the Senior Bowl, not Buccaneer scouts, but just NFL scouts, about Jonah Williams, and they'll tell you he might be better off at guard. Like he's an okay left tackle, but what makes Jonah Williams so good is the fact that there's no other good left tackles this year.
Yeah,
right. There's Andre Dillard, who's okay. We saw him at the Senior Bowl. There's Yanni Kajust from West Virginia. Both those guys are not going to probably be first rounders, or if they are, it's going to be like because of the quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these quarterbacks that shouldn't be first-rounders will be because, like you said, those positions are in need. But I don't think if you were to put some of the other offensive tackles from years past, some high first-round picks in this class, Jonah Williams is not number one in terms of being a left tackle. I have not heard any buzz about him from One Buck in Your Place. I don't think that he's in consideration at number five. They'll do their due diligence.
Right.
They might talk themselves into it, but it's not going to happen because Donovan Smith is going to get re-signed. So Donovan Smith will be the left tackle. They're not going to spend the number five overall pick on a guy after signing Donovan Smith.
Yeah, and that's what we tell people all the time. I mean, everybody's saying, who are the Bucs going to draft in April? Let's see what the Buccaneers do in March with free agency.
Sure.
Because a lot of that's going to dictate what happens come April. Scott, you look really full right now.
Like I am.
You look like you had one heck of a lunch. I mean, it's what, about 2:30 now here on a Thursday as we tape this podcast? You've got kind of that glow
about
you. Ask
me where
you.
I went.
You have that glow of contentment inside your stomach.
Ask me where I went for lunch.
You went to, McDonald's?
No.
Burger King?
No.
Those are the best burgers you can get.
Wendy's?
Contraire, mon frère. We're talking about Ford's Garage.
Is that the MF you were talking about that Bruce was spouting at Montrere?
Huh?
Montfair? What did you just say?
Contraire, mon frère.
Oh, okay. I guess it's not an MF. Yeah. All right. Where did you go to lunch?
I went to Ford's Garage.
What?
I did.
Without me?
No, you were there.
That's right. I was there.
Yeah.
And as you notice, I also have the glow because I'm very full.
That's
because
right.
I had the mushroom and Swiss. And not just any Swiss, baby Swiss.
Yep.
I don't really know the difference. It looks good on the menu, but it tasted great. Sauteed mushrooms, pretzel bun. I had a medium Angus steak burger, lettuce, tomato. It was amazing.
Yep, I had the third pound Roadster, one of their new specials at Ford's Garage. This thing had barbecue brisket on it. It was medium rare, right to my liking, on a brioche bun, along with cheese and some fried crispy onion straws. And I loved it. It was delicious.
Well,
and I had a beer, too.
We won't tell your cardiologist where you went to lunch, but every once in a while, there's nothing wrong with having a fried burger and some fries and some crispy onions and brisket on top of that.
And a beer.
And a beer, or four. No, you only had one because you had to drive. That was the first time in all my years knowing Scott. This first time I've only seen him drink one beer.
Well, it was 2:30.
Well, that's true.
It's a big reason.
Even
why.
He has standards.
5 o'clock.
Ford's
somewhere.
Garage, there multiple locations throughout Central Florida, and even up in Dearborn, Michigan. We had somebody on Twitter say, I'm in Ohio. I can't wait to get to Ford's Garage. We'll drive on over. It's only a couple hours. It's across the state line. You're allowed to leave Ohio. Swing by Dearborn, Michigan. Check out Ford's Garage there. If you're down south, you can go to Estero, which is near Fort Myers, where the original location is. Ford's Garage, Orlando, Countryside, Clearwater, Wesley Chapel, Brandon, Lakeland now. Where am I missing? West
St.
Chase.
Pete?
St. Pete.
Yep.
I mean, they're all over the place. In fact, we were at the St. Pete while we were there for the East-West Shrine game. Downtown St. Pete, so great location. Go check them out. Ford's Garage, proud sponsor of the Pewter Nation podcast. Now, Scott, we might even let Matt talk a little bit. I'm not sure yet.
Woo!
Matthew, I mean. Okay, so that's the left side of the offensive line. Ryan Jensen's back. Ali Marpet is fine.
Yep.
We know Donovan's probably going to be back, 99.9% there. Now, let's shift to the side that really caused problems
last
year.
The fun side.
And really, you know, I think, I don't, you know, a lot of people haven't really hammered DeMar Dotson, but they seem like they can't wait to get rid of this guy. I thought DeMar played fine last year. I mean, he's a right tackle, right? I mean, if you know, if he played that way as a left tackle, then it would be disappointing. But as a right tackle, you're not normally going up against the premier pass rushers.
I thought he was okay in pass protection. I thought where he really, really struggled was the run game, letting guys cross the space and get inside. And I just didn't see the confidence in him to plant and drive his face mask across and cut off that inside gap.
Well, being you know, nearly 50 years old, and his legs are not what they used
to
be.
That's true.
I mean, that is one of the first things that tend to go with offensive linemen.
He was coming off a knee injury, too.
That's
he had off-season knee surgery. And so we'll see now that, to my knowledge, he has not had any off-season surgeries.
Right.
But let's see what a good 3 months of just chillaxing will do for him. Instead of just having to come and rehab off that injury, then all of a sudden
actually
OTAs.
You used the word chillax, did you?
I did. Yeah. Okay. It's like,
Matt,
it's chill.
Out of the podcast.
You got it.
And it's relaxed. It's chillaxing. Oh. That's what these guys do in the offseason.
Is that what they do? I think that's what they did like 5 years ago. I don't think anybody uses chillaxing anymore.
I'm bringing it back. Okay. It was a good term back then. It's still
Let's
good.
Let's bring
today.
That back while we're at it, too. Let's just bring back all the old phrases. Matt, talk to the hand. All right, listen, we've been there, done that. Now
Where's
we're going.
The beef?
All right, now, Max Headroom, what we're going to do is we're going to look at the guard position, which is perfectly fine.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, I mean, you got Beninock, and if Beninock struggles, you throw Kappa in.
Oh,
and
yeah.
This team is just ready to go.
You go from a turnstile to a matador in that situation. Olé.
Yeah, that's not good. They've got to upgrade that. And again, looking at free agents, if you find a guy, he's going to be a no-name guy that you think you can develop, or if it is a name guy, you're going to pay through the nose, even if he even makes it into free agency.
Yeah.
So I think this is a position where the Buccaneers go early in the draft. Not obviously there's not a guard, there's not a Quentin Nelson available
Correct.
In this draft, but there are some guys, the second, third round guys, that could make a difference, I think.
Yeah, there is. And we've got one of those guys in our new mock draft, which is coming out on Friday.
Teaser.
Yeah, so check that out.
Oh,
and
boy.
It's not Michael Dieter. I wasn't a fan of his at the Senior Bowl. He underwhelmed.
I wasn't overly impressed with either of the Wisconsin linemen in the Senior Bowl.
Feel the
and
same way.
Maybe it was because the expectations were so high, but there was just something it just left me wanting a little bit more.
Especially in pass protection.
Yeah, absolutely. The one-on-one drills were a big thing that I was keying on.
Right.
And I expected them to maybe dominate as a little bit too much,
or at least
of
split the
an
reps,
expectation.
Right?
Yeah.
At least show up on half of them. And I don't think either one of them did.
I wouldn't even say it was 50-50 for most of it.
So we have a new guard slated to the Buccaneers. But one guy to keep an eye on, this goes to your point, Mark, let's see what happens in March before we start picking guys in the draft. Well, we do these mock drafts just for fun and entertainment purposes. But this could all change if they go ahead and get a guy like Mike Iupati, who was with the Arizona Cardinals, was a Pro Bowler his first season in Arizona after being a three-time Pro Bowler in San Francisco.
Right.
Signed a big free agent deal, but he's been injured. He had one good year. That was 2015.
And I think he's
healthy.
32 right now.
Yeah. But keep in mind, Jason did trade for Logan Mankins, who was on his way out too.
Yeah.
And he signed J.R. Sweezy, who was on his second contract. So if you're looking for a stopgap player, and honestly, if I'm the Buccaneers, I'm signing Mike Iupati and I'm spending a high
I haven't watched
pick.
1 minute of his film last year, and I'm already saying he's a better guard.
That's right.
On one leg or whatever his injury might have been than what we saw last year.
Yeah,
it was really bad. So now what do you do with a Caleb Beninock and a Alex Kappa? I don't think you've given up on Alex Kappa at guard eventually, potentially,
I think
down the road.
The game plan with Kappa is to cross-train him. I mean, he knows how to play guard. He was a left tackle in college. I don't think he's got the athleticism to play on the left side. But maybe either Caleb Beninock, who looked a heck of a lot better as a right tackle, in 2017 than he did as a right guard last year, where the action was like on top of him instantly.
Mm-hmm.
It's so different. And Caleb was a right tackle at UCLA. When you have that space to work with off the snap, and especially in pass protection, and you can wheel a guy around and you have some room to operate, rather than all of a sudden you're getting bull rushed at the snap, or you're trying to pick up stunts and twists. It was just so foreign to Caleb, and I don't think he mastered the position or grasped it at all.
That's a good point, because when he's lined up inside a guard, he's got to communicate with Jensen to his left and
Dotson
on his right, and so there's line calls being made. He's an inexperienced guy. Yeah. Look, when you're playing either tackle position, you're essentially on an island, right? Yeah. There are times when you're going to do some double teams as far as the run blocking goes.
Yep.
But in pass protection, you know that that defensive end is your guy, and you've got to pick him up. Well, occasionally, you might have to slide out if they bring somebody off the edge.
Sometimes you have help, right, with the tight end, where the tight end gets the chip and allows you to get in your pass set. Now, all of a sudden, you've got some space to work with, and
interior offensive linemen have to think more, in my opinion, than tackles do.
Yes,
right?
And the action happens; it's instantaneous.
Right.
It's snap, and all of a sudden, boom! You don't have a guy that's trying to make a move, right? Like, because if you're a defensive end, you might try hard rush to the outside, and you're probably not even trying to engage. You're trying to run around, or you're trying to come back inside. Mm-hmm. So there's more time, and there's more room to work with. And I think Benenach needs that. Plus, you look at his body. We've seen the guy up close and in person. He does not have the ability to anchor. He does not have a big lower base. Like, he's got some skinny legs. He's more top heavy. I think he's built like a tackle. I think George Warhop, it was his decision to move him to guard.
Yeah.
It was a wrong decision. And so Kappa's going to get a shot at both guard and tackle. I think they're moving Caleb Benenach to tackle this year and have him compete with Damar Dotson to see if they can salvage this guy.
Right.
And there's no... You know, it's not a lock that he makes the roster.
Well, the one good thing about Caleb Benenach, and this is one thing that Dirk always said when he was defending him, is he can play virtually every offensive line position, could even snap probably if they needed him to. So I think there's a value for him. Well, but there's a value, I think, maybe as a backup guy. You have to come in an emergency, somebody gets banged out. You know, so I think there's a good chance he still makes the roster, but I don't think you're going to see this guy starting when September rolls around on the offensive line.
Unless Harold Goodwin and Joe Gilbert can really develop some of these younger guys.
Now, Gilbert's taken not a lot of abuse, but I've seen some shots taken at him from his time in Indianapolis. And there's no doubt his last year or so in Indianapolis, that was a terrible offensive line.
He didn't have a lot to work with.
Well, you can't make chicken salad out of chicken poo.
Right, and I think that's the big reason why the Colts drafted Quentin Nelson, right? And Quentin Nelson made the new offensive line coach look really, really good because he was a rookie Pro Bowler. And he's a top five pick in the draft. So, if you take Quentin Nelson and put him in the 2017 draft and give him to Joe Gilbert, Joe Gilbert's resume probably looks a heck of a lot better.
Yeah.
And that Colts offensive line looks a heck of a lot better, too. So I think Joe Gilbert's done enough in his career, and he did work at Arizona, University of Arizona last year. But it's not just going to be his offensive line, Harold Goodwin.
Yeah, that's a big part of it.
That's a big part of it.
You're right. It's just not Gilbert like it was with just George Warhop essentially last year.
Yeah,
he had an assistant.
Butch Berry
was there. But I'm saying, you know, you're talking about Harold Goodwin, who has a or Goodwin. I'm going to keep missing that up. As long as Chris Godwin is here, I'm going to call Goodwin Godwin and Godwin Goodwin. So, but the point is, you know, you haven't really seen a guy of his experience and his resume that's going to be able to pitch in and help. He's not the assistant. He's going to oversee that run game. And I think he's going to be a big benefit to Gilbert. And as you mentioned, to a guy like Donovan Smith that needs – there's no question in my mind that Donovan Smith needed a different voice in his head than George Warhop and really the whole offensive line.
I agree. And so let's continue on the reclamation project theme.
Of a boat?
Huh?
Of a boat? Do you have a boat you need to reclaim? A reclamation project?
No.
Do you have a boat with a hole in it?
I don't, actually.
No? Are you thinking about getting a boat?
Not anytime soon.
But if you did get a boat.
But if I did.
And if you did have a boat, right now would be the time to get it maintained because the weather is really awful right now. It's not great boating weather. Really not going to be great
boating
weather till after February when March kicks in, spring, and water temperatures get up around 70 degrees. It's going to be back to being that Florida that we all know and love.
But where would I go to get, if I had a boat, to get it serviced?
McDonald's?
Burger King? I'm thinking.
Ford's Garage.
I'm thinking.
No?
Not just Ford's Garage. What's the name of the place? That's right. It's T.A. Mahoney's.
T.A. Mahoney's. Why didn't I think of that, Scott?
I don't know. You've only been doing these promos for the past 2 years.
It's only my account.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I'm only friends with the owner. But anyway, listen, The Mahoney family over at 50th Street and Adamo, in all seriousness, is your one-stop shop for all of your marine needs. They've been in business since 1948. That's 70 years, folks. There's not many people that can say they've been alive that long, much less been in business that long. You have to be doing something right to be able to keep a business up, running, and maintained as well as T.A. Mahoney's is, and they do things right there. They're going to be honest with you. If you bring in a problem, they're going to tell you it's a problem. This is how much it's going to be to fix it and take care of it. But the one thing, guys, that you're going to know, when you drive off that lot, pulling your trailer with that boat, it's going to be ready to go in the water. They're not going to, you know, do anything on the cheap or, you know, cut any corners. They're going to do things the right way, and that's the reason that they've been in business as long as they have.
And they'll sell you a flare gun, too, if you need one.
You've got to have a flare gun, even if you don't live anywhere near water, because what if you're out just walking your dog and you get lost in the woods?
Yeah.
Everybody who's ever been lost in the woods wishes they had one thing.
A flare gun.
A flare gun. Yeah. So go get your flare guns. Go get your boats repaired. Go get your UV polarized sunglasses. Go get a new fishing rod. Go get the simplest, smallest baits from little brim hooks all the way up to shark hooks. They've got everything you need in the marine world. T.A. Mahoney's 50th Street in Adamo. You can find them online at tamahoney.com.
The reclamation project I was talking about was actually Noah Spence. Second round pick in the 2016 draft.
Yes. I'm
going to be featuring him in my SRS Fab 5 on Friday, so be sure you read that. A little bit of a preview about that. The Buccaneers, yes, they're going to be playing nickel a good deal of the time, but the base defense is going to be a 3-4 scheme. It's going to be a 3-4 under, which is very similar to what Baltimore runs.
Explain that, Scott.
Very similar to what, the Rams run.
Yeah.
Okay, so to the naked eye, it looks like a 4-3. It's just that you're going to have Jason Pierre-Paul as the weak side linebacker in this instance. And he may be standing up. He may have his hand down. When he has his hand down, it's still going to be a 3-4 under front.
Right.
It's just going to look like a 4-3. But the thing is you're going to have a three-technique defensive tackle or defensive end, if you will. The same position Aaron Donald's playing, if Gerald McCoy somehow stays here, that's the position he's going to be playing. And you're still going to have a nose tackle. You're going to have a five-technique defensive end on the other side, strong side defensive end type. And I'm not sure if Carl Nassib would be a defensive end for this team or if he would be a strong side outside linebacker. Because I think that he has some position flexibility to do both. But I think with Noah Spence and his size or lack thereof at around 250 pounds, I think he is going to be an outside linebacker. And how you know that this is going to be the scheme is, well, this is what Todd Bowles ran in Arizona. It's what he ran in New York with the Jets. And the fact that the Buccaneers have one defensive line coach and two linebacker coaches, an inside linebackers coach and an outside linebackers coach, and Mike Caldwell and Larry Foote, tells you all you need to know.
Yeah, that's a great point. Two linebacker coaches and one defensive
line coach. The defensive line coach is going to be coaching three positions, the nose and the other two defensive linemen. One's called a defensive end. The other's called a defensive tackle. That's the three tech. The inside linebacker coaches, there's going to be two inside linebackers, and then there's going to be two outside linebackers. So we're going to go kind of in-depth in this week's SRS Fab 5 about that. I had a chance to talk with Kevin Minter, who I believe the Buccaneers are going to re-sign. Why? Because he was pretty impactful in the plays that he made down the stretch for the Buccaneers before he went on injured reserve, filling in for Quan Alexander. But also, he was a second-round draft pick by the Arizona Cardinals in 2013, the first year that Todd Bowles and Bruce Arians were out in the desert. So he knows this defense inside and out. How valuable is it to have somebody in that linebacking room, aside from the coaches, that can tell you how this defense operates? And I think that when you look right now, folks, there's a reason why we have Devin White in our mock draft, and I'll let the cat out of the bag. Devin White, for the second mock, is still staying in the pole position as the guy. Quan Alexander is not under contract right now. He is recovering from his ACL injury.
Squatting in the gym, posted that.
Squatting in the gym.
11 weeks out.
And that's awesome, and I hope that Quan does get re-signed. Okay, but keep in mind, there is a reason why they had to sign Kevin Minter last year, because you lost two linebackers in the Browns game, Quan and Jack Sitchi. Kendall Beckwith did not play a single down last year, and the team still does not know what the status will be for him. So the only healthy, competent, starting caliber linebacker on the roster is Lavonte David. So this team needs more linebackers. Even if you re-sign Quan,
keep forgetting Riley Bulla. Every week, you forget Riley
and Adarius Taylor.
The Forgotten Men.
Guys, I'm telling you, in the eyes of the Buccaneers, the decision makers, those guys are special teamers at best.
Yeah.
And the same with Devontae Bond. So they were thrust into starting roles last year out of necessity only.
So even if you bring Quan Alexander back, you need two more linebackers, essentially.
You do. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, you're talking Minter, but again, Minter, where would Minter play? Would he play?
He'd be one of the inside backers. Backers. Yeah. Okay. And listen, he might be a reserve. He may not be a starter, but you want him for his knowledge, his experience, and if something does happen. And how many times have we seen it, guys? Jarre Sweezy came back from his back injury and wasn't the same player, right? The only player that I can remember coming back from a torn ACL and just stepping right in and being the guy was Adrian Peterson. So I would love to see Quan back. I'd love to see
him. Or Kendall Beckwith in college.
Yeah.
Blows his knee out against Florida in November.
In November, yeah, and has a really good season as a rookie. But it's rare that happens because there's the mental and the physical hurdle that you have to get through. And so
remember Jacquez, Jacquez Smith? A guy who, you know, we had high hopes for going into that season a couple years ago. He'd come off a knee injury in week one against Atlanta.
Right.
Up in Atlanta.
Great point.
And you know, everybody was kind of perplexed why he wasn't the same guy. And after the Buccaneers let him go, you know, we found out that, you know, it was just a big mental block that this guy was having.
It just wasn't
the same player. Yeah. And you know, you don't know how. I will say this. If I'm going to bet on a guy, it is a Quan Alexander.
Yeah.
You know, he can get over that mental part of things.
Sure. And I wouldn't be shocked to see the Buccaneers try to get Quan to do a one-year prove-it deal either.
Yeah. Yeah. Load it up with some incentives.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, give him an opportunity to make $7, $8 million this year.
Sure.
But also give your opportunity to get out of this deal if he's not the same guy.
Exactly. So I think that's the reason why you need to draft another linebacker. But Noah Spence can help out now if you move him to outside linebacker. But the problem is he's not going to be a starter. He's done nothing to show you he can start.
Right.
I think he would be a situational sub that comes in and rotates with Jason Pierre-Paul on rushdowns to get this guy some experience because he's got a long way to go. I think he's still a talent, but this new coaching staff, I think, is going to give him a fresh start that he needs. I don't know that he and Coach Buckner saw eye to eye. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
And we'll leave it at that.
Right.
But Noah Spence is going to get a fresh start with his new coaching staff. They're excited to work with him from what I hear. And I think he'll be making that switch to the stand-up outside linebacker spot, which he did play some at the Senior Bowl when the Buccaneers first drafted him in the second round in 2016. I think that from his body type, I think that suits him as a guy that's not 275 pounds. I think he has to just be a stand-up rusher from the outside.
Well, we have pretty much wrapped up another Pewter Nation podcast. Anything else? Scott, you've got the Fab coming out on Friday. If you're listening to this before Friday, Fab comes out on Friday, plus our mock draft is going to be back out. Scott already gave away who the first pick was, but there's five other guys in that mock that you're going to want to check out. Actually,
there's six.
Uh-oh.
We've
got a trade.
Oh, boy.
We have a trade.
Buccaneers are on the clock. They made a trade.
Yep.
All right. For Matthew Matera, Matthew the intern, for Scott Reynolds, I'm Mark Cook, and we'll see you next week for another edition of the Pewter Nation Podcast.
Out.